Rimfire ammunition engineering and production. The simple appearance of a rimfire cartridge belies the time and engineering skills that makes it affordable. Many people hear rimfire and think primitive, simple, entry level, not to mention the cheapest per shot factory ammo available. Rimfire ammunition is the oldest persistent fixed cartridge technology we have. Millions of dollars and decades of development were invested to make it the affordable precision ammo we often take for granted. The scale. 25 years ago, the annual production of rimfire sporting ammo was estimated at 500 million cartridges. Yes, that's a B from US factories alone. The earliest rimfire patent mentioned is from France, 1831. It described a hollow annular cavity inside the protruding rim of a metal cartridge case. The patent showed priming compound in the cavity as well as across the inside of the case's base. One citation described it as a percussion cap with a bullet on top. Louis Nicolas Flaubert, pronounced Flaubert, made the first commercially successful rimfire cartridge in 1845, the 6mm Flaubert. By then the excesses of the 1831 patent had been tamed, and the primer mix was confined to the rim cavity. Flaubert's cartridges, some with only primer-powered lead balls, were typically fired in short-range parlor rifles or pistols. These were used indoors on paper targets often set in the parlor fireplace, often after a dinner party, accompanied by brandy and cigars. Rimfire propellant charges are measured in milligrams, not grains. It takes about 65 milligrams to equal 1 grain of propellant. Flaubert variants were as large as 9mm, but an American firm took rimfire back to true small bore. Smith & Wesson's first revolver success was in 1857, the Model 1, a .22 caliber rimfire revolver whose cartridge became today's .22 short. Keeping the cost to consumers low without sacrificing quality has always been the driving force in rimfire development. The namesake case design is a major factor. In some ways, rimfire case construction is more critical than in centerfire cases. Any cartridge case must contain pressure, flex on firing to seal the chamber, and control headspace. However, the hollow rim, in addition to headspacing duties, must be dimensionally uniform and pinchable, requiring the right metallurgy. Obscure factors like grain size of the brass can affect the case's relationship with a firing pin. The rim's internal cavity configuration is also critical. It must have the identical profile at every point on its circumference to ensure consistent ignition. Rimfire priming is incredibly complex. The primer mix components are little changed from non-corrosive centerfire formulae. Some makers add one, a frictionator, the tiny pinch point in rimfire cases, and the lighter firing pin strikes in some rimfire firearms can merit some help. The frictionator is commonly glass ground to an extremely fine powder, almost atomized. It adds just a bit of extra resistance to the pin strike for more reliable ignition, and becomes incandescent particles that aid propellant ignition. Getting the mix uniformly into that tiny rim cavity is another challenge. All primer mixes are worked damp for safety. That dampness is used as an assembly assist in rimfire. Centrifugal forces are used to sling the mix into the cavity. A meter pellet of mix goes into a cartridge case that then moves to a spinning station. There, a coil enters the case, mashing the primer and catching the inside case wall just enough to rotate it. The coil goes to high speed, and the wet mix is forced uniformly into the rim cavity. Inspection verifies proper distribution. That's why primer mix is often green. A dye makes it visible against a brass case, whether inspection is done with the human eye or a camera-based vision system. Rimfire propellant charges are measured in milligrams, not grains. It takes about 65 milligrams to equal 1 grain of propellant. Metering such small charges uniformly into tiny cases requires some incredible engineering. It also means that for every rimfire load, a propellant must not only meet strict ballistic requirements but also be capable of working in intricate, small, volume metering devices that are charging thousands of cases per minute in some load lines. Chunky propellants won't cut it. The key to keeping rimfire ammo affordable is time management, maximizing the number of cartridges made per shift. Adding time adds to the cost structure. Engineers have to work out how to make the most cartridges in the shortest time with zero loss of quality or precision, and with minimum downtime. This affects every aspect of rimfire ammunition, from making the case, spinning, charging, bullet seating, and crimping and even packaging. Downtime is when the line stops, usually to convert from one rimfire product to another. That is minimized by dividing the load lines, dedicated lines for the most popular products, like .22 long rifle high velocity 40 grain solids, and flex lines for lower volume products. Modular tool pack design, speed changeovers, pre-adjusted modules to change the line from one product to another reduce downtime and costs. Labor costs go up with the cost of living. Rimfire assemblers I knew were highly skilled, motivated people who took pride in producing the best rimfire ammo. They are what really makes rimfire work, and they deserve a decent wage. CCI adopted its famous 100-count plastic box packaging, not for the box, but for the grid inside. Holding 100 oriented cartridges, the grid simplified bullet lubrication, final inspection, and packing. The savings in eliminating the tedious hand labor costs of heads and tails 50-count packaging alone more than cover the cost of the plastic parts. Remember that rimfire is not low-pressure ammo. Maximum average pressure for .22 short is 21,000 C. The .17 Mark II, the .22 long and long rifle, and the .22 RF Magnum are 24,000 C, the .17 HMR is 26,000 C, and the .17 WSM is 33,000 C. For comparison, .45 Auto Plus P is 23,000 C. Respect the pressure. When I was a kid, I could buy a 50-count box of .22 long rifle for about 40 to 50 cents. Then one of my dad's Navy buddies who was childless gave me a single-shot Winchester Model 67 he no longer needed. That was awesome. Yet even greater joy was a cigar box chock full of loose .22 ammo. You can blame him for how I turned out.